we are standing in his presence on holy ground. Now, Pastor Pat brought a revelation to my mind with that. I actually hadn't thought that when he said we are standing on holy ground, he was actually talking of this ground here. I was thinking of this ground here. So that was big revelation. And he tied it to a scripture that I planned to share and that I just opened to reread again as he was speaking. And he tied it to that scripture about the new covenant. And I was just reading it and I turned to Master and I said, this is confirmation. This is God. I was just reading it. Today I had planned to continue with the book of Revelation. But the part that we have reached to share from in the book of Revelation starts a very long series. I needed to be able to talk about that with Pastor Pat because now we get to that stage where the Bible talks about the seals that God broken. And that is certainly a whole world of its own. But the more I prayed, the more I sought the Lord, the more I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? I kept going back to the message on overcoming. And there are parts of that message that, in the interest of time, I kind of skimmed over or just quickly went through. And the Lord just kept saying, taking me back to that message on overcoming. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. So I'm going to skip chapters 8, 9, and 10, and 11, which talk about the seals and the trumpets and the white horses and the black horses. And I enjoy listening to people who have been anointed with the gift of teaching about prophecy. Or prophetically, and I like sometimes how they genuinely, what's his name, Brother Crouch, before he went to be with the Lord, one day organized, held a conversation where he brought different brethren with different schools of thought to say, you know what, these are things that none of us can claim to own. It's the way God reveals them. It's the way God brings the insight and the revelation. And that's why that part of scripture is often referred to as the apocalypse, because apocalypse basically refers to hidden knowledge, knowledge that nobody understands. I don't think even John himself understood everything that he wrote in this book. And chapter 12, which I'm going to walk us through, and I'll try to connect that to another chapter, chapter 8 of Hebrews. Now, those are worlds of, we could be here for 2 months just talking about those. But I'll try to bring them together and try to do all that and leave enough time for us to enjoy the food. So, you know, somebody said, before I came to the U.S., somebody told us, you know, came to speak to us in Uganda and said, you know, in the U.S., the first 10 minutes when you're preaching, people are praying with you. And if you continue for another 10 minutes beyond that first 10 minutes, they start praying for you. Say, God help this brother. And if you add on another 10 minutes and it becomes 30, they start to pray against you. Anyway, basically what he was trying to say is because, you know, sometimes you speak. I think I remember I preached a sermon where I spoke for almost 2 hours. I was basically say, hey, you know what, you need to watch time. So, don't worry. I'll not give you opportunity to pray against me. by the way, that was a joke, okay? So I hope none of you took offense. Amen. How many of you took offense? We are in that season of taking offense from people who speak, and you all know, so that's okay. Chapter 12, and this is a very complicated one. I don't think any one of us will understand this fully, but I'll pick out what I want to speak about and leave the rest to the Holy Spirit to expound to us. Verse 1, and it's long, and I'll try to read. A great wondrous sign appeared in heaven. It is really a wondrous sign. A woman clothed with the sun. Now, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Who of you has already got the revelation? Who is the woman? You see, it is very complicated, right? She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. Well, if you are sleeping and you see that kind of thing, you're sure you wake up and you'll not sleep for 2 days. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them on the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, that woman. And some people, I was reading around this in commentary, and there are people who think this woman must have been Mary. There are people who think this woman must have been, is the world. It talks about the world. And I'm not going to go into that, but let's move on. Verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. That's why many people say, this must be talking about Jesus, because the only child who has been snatched up to God's throne is Jesus Christ. The woman fled, I'm reading verse 6, the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God. And some people say, you know, that's why Mary and Joseph went to Egypt. Might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And by the way, there are people who have sat down to calculate how many days, as far as the Bible is concerned, how many years this must be, and I'm not going to go into that. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hauled down. The ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hauled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hauled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Now then, I told you at the beginning of this series of teachings, I said, there are some verses in the scripture that scare me, that make me apprehensive, that make me sit up and say, but really, why did God do this? Why did God allow this? And this is one of them. Now listen to the next part on this scripture. He says, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. So why would God defeat the devil in heaven and then throw him here for us to struggle with? Does any one of you have an answer? Okay, we'll invite you to give us that answer. Okay, let's continue. When the dragon saw that he had been hauled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman, and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and who hold the testimony of Jesus. That must be scary. It's scary. There was war in heaven. Some people think, okay, some authorities that have written on this subject think that this chapter is actually, should have even come before Genesis chapter 1. Because it is a reflection of what happened in heaven before even the earth was created, before there was anything called earth. This is actually what was taking place in heaven before. So some people think, yeah, in as much as it is here, it is actually, it's like a movie reflecting on the past, on what happened at the beginning. But nonetheless, it's a scary experience. Here is a woman giving birth. Women who have given birth, you know. And here is somebody waiting to snatch that baby. I had a few opportunities to be there when my wife was giving birth. Not very many. I'll not tell you those details. I know now people are waiting. Oh, give us a little more of the gospel. I'll not give you that. But this woman is giving birth. The devil wants to kill this child. War erupts in heaven between the devil and the angels of God. In the Bible, there are only two angels that have whose names we are given. Michael and Gabriel. Michael the archangel, who some people think is a typological representation of Jesus Christ, again, depending on which literature you are reading. But let's take is Michael the archangel. Michael the archangel fights with the devil. And when the archangel of God fights with the devil, we know who the loser will be. And the devil loses. Amen? And when the devil loses, he's howled down onto the earth. So brethren, here is a creature that can fight with the army of God, howled here on earth. We are dealing with a big thing here, aren't we? And the Bible says, woe unto you who dwell on the earth, because he's coming and he's enraged. He knows his time is short. And because his time is short, he's angry and he has schemes. And he has unleashed a litany of his arsenal, of his tricks, of his power. When you hear about abortion and people worrying and quarreling and talking and yelling about abortion, it's not starting now. This devil has been there wanting to kill children from the beginning. It is not something happening now. It's not just starting now. This is in the Bible. The devil has been there from the beginning wanting to steal and kill little children. He wanted to kill Jesus. So we are dealing with a very complicated thing. Scary. And you know, like I told you last Sunday, those of you who were here, if you're dealing with a complicated thing, you need a Goliath or a Goliath. Okay? I said it depends on if you grew up in Uganda, you call him Goliath. If you grew up in America, you call him Goliath. But you understand, he's the same person we are talking about. So you need some kind of strength. You need some kind of anchor. You need some kind of authority. You need somebody who you can depend on. In this particular case, it was Michael. But you know now, where do we go to find Michael? Do we begin praying and saying, Lord, send me Michael? I don't know. Where do we find Michael? And that's why John gets the revelation and gives us the verse that I want to bring to us. And if I finish that and I keep quiet and I stop and we go and eat, I will have done my part. Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Brethren, our only hope is the blood of the Lamb. Against this type of adversary, against this type of enemy, against this type of opponent, our only hope is the blood of the Lamb of God. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And at that point, I'll turn to chapter 8 of Hebrews. It's a long chapter, but don't worry, I'll not dwell there too long because I'm very mindful that my first 10 minutes are gone and now you're starting to pray for me. Hallelujah. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's trying to make, give us a light moment here. It's a long chapter, but I'll not read the whole chapter. Verse 1 says, the point, and I like it this way, the point of what we are saying is this. The point of what I'm trying to say is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. And so when Pastor Pat talked about this being the ground, this being the tabernacle, guess the tabernacle in which Jesus is serving. Jesus is serving in this tabernacle. Jesus is serving in this tabernacle. He's at work in this tabernacle. Because this tabernacle has not been created by man. This tabernacle has been created by God. Verse 3 says, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And so it was necessary for the one, for this one also, to have something to offer. If he is to be a priest, he has to have something to offer, right? If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. He's a pope, right? They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make every thing according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Verse 6. Now we get to what I really love. But the ministry of Jesus has, but the ministry which Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. Brethren, before I say this, let's keep a finger there, but run to verse 13 of that same chapter. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Brethren, we are partakers of the new covenant. It's not how righteous, it is not how holy, It is not how much money I give. It is not how many days I fast. It is not how many hours I pray. It is not how well I sing in the choir. It is not how many days I preach. It is none of those things. It is a new covenant. And let me show you why I love the new covenant, and I'll keep quiet. Let me tell you, this is a long thing, but I'm just trying to lay the foundation here. Now turn back to verse 8, chapter 8. Let's go because of time. Let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 7. Let's take time. Brethren, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. The Bible says, but God will destroy both. I have a scripture. Verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. Verse 10. This is where I'm going to finish, and I love this. This is it. This is sweet. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that you and I have. This is the covenant that you and I have inherited. Number one, God says, I will put my laws in their mind. God himself will put his laws in our minds. I don't even know what I'm doing here, because God has already put these things in your minds. I am only here. You know the way you sweep, you dust, you mop, I'm a signpost. A signpost is not the place you're going to. A signpost only points you in the right direction. And if some malicious person comes and turns that signpost which was pointing to Chantilly, and they turn it and it faces Woodbridge, it will still be saying Chantilly. But it is facing Woodbridge. And if somebody comes and they are getting lost and they just follow that sign, guess where they will end up? They will end up in Woodbridge, and they think they are ending up in Chantilly. That's what false teachers and pastors and false teachers and prophets do. They come and they become the wrong sign. They are leading people the wrong way. But listen to what God says. He himself is going to write these things in their laws. And God himself is writing these things in the laws of everybody. In the hearts of everybody, sorry. The laws in the hearts of everybody. Listen. And he says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. I. Notice the way God is doing it. In the first covenant, he was telling them what to do. You will have to do this. You will have to do this. You will have to do this. And that's why they failed. And God decides, and he says, in the new covenant, I will do it. I, God, and I'm not saying I'm God, okay? You know, my friend was teaching his little daughter how to pray our Lord's Prayer. But you know, in our local language, Luganda, the word yours and they are there. Those things are, you know. So those things are yours and those things are there are almost the same. So this little girl, when she prays the Lord's Prayer and says, for the glory, kingdom, and power are yours, she uses the Luganda word, which says, they are there. The glory and the power are there. And the father teaches her and says, you don't say they are there. You say, they are yours. So the girl thinks the father is saying they are hers. So she says, okay, now she prays, and then she says, for the power and the glory are mine. Listen. He says he will be your God and you will be his people. Brethren, I don't belong to me. No. I belong to God. Jehovah Adonai. God my owner. God owns me. I belong to him. But listen. He says, nobody will need to teach their neighbor. So I have no business being here. No longer will a man teach his neighbor. Or a man, his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will know me. From the least of them to the greatest. God will do it. That is why I say to us, our only hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we go to pray, when we go to seek the face of God, submit yourself under the new covenant. Brethren, you have no business going to try and dig up Yom Kippur and all those other. You know, today there are so many people who are trying to dig up the law. It's good. It's good to know the law. It's good to know what those people went through. What we need is to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Those who knew that, they overcame. And that's why the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But it's not just the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So once you know the blood, what do you confess? Don't confess Christ and the law. Or don't say, no, I know the blood and I'm trusting in the blood and depending on the blood. But at the same time, you are trying to rely on your ability to keep the law. Lord, I know you. I have told you this story before, but let me repeat it and I close. A man tried to go to heaven. Or was given an opportunity to go to heaven. In his sleep, I believe, in his vision. I don't know who that man is. I told you, I don't know where these stories come from, but I read them and they help me to understand the gospel. But this man gets to the gates of heaven and he finds there St. Peter. It's always St. Peter, so he must be, this man must have been a Catholic or something. He finds there St. Peter and St. Peter says, just give me 100 reasons why I should allow you into the kingdom. Oh, the man says, I have so many. And he starts listing. I visited the poor. I gave to the poor. I visited the sick. I prayed so many times. I gave tithes in church. I did this. I did this. And he gets somewhere and he runs out of things. And he's beginning, you know, when you start, you sing them, but then slowly you begin to try and recall. And he's getting close to getting stuck, and he says, I think I'm stuck. And Peter says, well, since you're stuck, I'm not going to let you in. I need. And the man says, listen, Peter. Just let me in because of what Jesus did for me. And Peter immediately opened the door and said, if you had said that from the very beginning, you would have entered. That is what I was looking for. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow, and there is healing in the blood. Let's stand up and just claim this blood. If you can stand, stand. Just sing about the blood like this is it. This is it. This is it, brethren. Oh, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. Oh, it washes white snow, and there is victory in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there is victory in the blood of Jesus. There is victory in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Just pray, pray, pray. Call upon the blood. Call upon God to just cover you in that blood, wash you in that blood, bathe you in that blood. Just call, invoke that blood. The Bible says when the time of the Passover, God said to them, when the angel sees the blood, he will pass over you. Call upon the blood. Pray that blood. Pray the blood upon your business. Pray the blood upon your family. Pray the blood upon your home. Pray the blood upon your income. Pray the blood upon your children. Pray the blood upon your bosses. Pray the blood upon your... Pray the blood of Jesus. Call upon the blood. There is power in the blood. They overcame him by the power of the blood, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. Call upon the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. 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 Oh, Father God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Israel. We pray the blood upon ourselves, Lord God. We invoke the blood of Jesus upon ourselves. We invoke the blood of Jesus upon our children. We invoke the blood of Jesus upon our parents. We invoke the blood of Jesus upon our neighbors. We invoke the blood of Jesus upon our businesses. The blood, for there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood, the blood, the blood. Father, we bless you for the new covenant. The covenant in which you have promised us good promises. The Bible says better promises, greater promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So Lord, we claim those promises in the blood of Jesus. We release those promises in the blood of Jesus. We claim those promises in the blood of Jesus. And we submit ourselves under that blood. For it is by that blood that our brethren overcame Lucifer. And it is by that blood that we are overcoming. It is by that blood that we are more than conquerors. It is by that blood that we overcome him daily. It's by that blood that we shall overcome him. We bless you for what Jesus did on the cross. Lord Jesus, we bless you for taking the shame. They put a crown of thorns on your head that our heads may be blessed. They pierced your hands that our hands may be blessed. They pierced your feet that our feet may be blessed. They stripped you naked and they flogged you that by your stripes we may be healed. We bless you for that blood. We honor you and give you glory. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 Let me just make this announcement. In Uganda, there's a ministry that I am associated with. That ministry is called Heart of Christ. They are organizing a big conference in the second week of November. And it's going to bring together people from within Uganda. And people might come also from other countries neighboring Uganda. Young people, anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 people are expected to come and spend a week of praise, prayer, and worship, and just learning the Word of God. I plan to go and speak in that conference. And I'm keen to hire, to recruit. I've spoken to some of you. I'm keen to recruit any people that are willing to go and be part of this wonderful work of the Lord. And if you want to go and speak to some 2,000, 3,000 young people and teach them the Word of God, and then just go and speak into their lives and just go and minister to them and just go and bless them. If the Lord is leading you in that direction, if you feel inspired in one way or another, you can talk to me. Now, here is the good news. The good news is that if you need the ticket or something, the church has told me to say they are willing to invest in a speaker who is going to speak to the people. But the second thing is, once you get into Uganda, you will not need to spend any single dollar on accommodation, on transportation, on anything. You will eat comfortably and you will live very comfortably. So pray for that conference and think about it. And if you really want to get connected to that ministry, let me know, or let Pastor Pat know. He and I have been talking about this. He's fully aware of it. I think I've also spoken to a number of your people. If the Lord inspires you in that direction, may God bless you and God use you that way. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to release us to go and eat food. So I hope you hadn't started praying against me, had you?
No.
Amen. Good word. Thank you so much. Let me say, just confirm that real quick. For those of you who've been on Tuesday night, you've known for the last 2 weeks I've been sharing on Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. Moses knows nothing about what we've been talking about. But, brother, we've been right there. Right there. And so I just want to say that the Holy Spirit is so working in our lives to bring the power of the Word of God to us. I thank God so much for it. Let me say one other thing. We'll pray over the food and go. Brother, you left plenty of time. Amen. It's 3:42. Y'all sit out. No, I'm just joking. But as Moses was reading chapter 12 of Hebrews, and he said, when he got to verse 11 or verse 10, it says, the accuser of the brethren has been hurled down. And he said, why has he been hurled down? And when you said that, it became aware to me that God hurled him down for a reason, and that the only people who overcame him were the people who were called up. He was hurled down to be overcome by people who are called up. the Lamb who shed his blood and overcame in heaven has called you and I up. And we will overcome him who was cast down because we have an upward call. And so what God is doing, one day we're going to know even as we're known. And we're going to know, but I'm telling you, what God has for us, I said this on one Tuesday night, church, you do not lose in any way when you serve Jesus. There is no loss. Everything is better serving Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for our time spent in your presence. Lord, help us to know that we're standing on holy ground, that you're living on the inside of us, ministering in the tabernacle. Now we pray your blessing over this food that we're about to receive, over our fellowship, over our time of ministry together in the Spirit. Bless it all, we ask in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen. 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 Let's eat.